This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, classes in session. Johnny Lupinacci, how you doing, my friend?
Man, doing great. Love these midweek drops. They're always packed with so much great content because they're when we get to have our awesome interviews, right? With educators talking education. Tim, I'm so excited about this one. Absolutely, since forever ago, my favorite segment of Busted Pencils, right?
I love this segment. I said, yeah, we're talking about, yeah, what would Matt Damon's mom say? We're bringing it back in the podcast. We've had her on the live show, and she has been awesome. Johnny, though, too, you know, vouchers in Arizona, $360 million unspent that is just sitting there that has been diverted. This is the way I look at this. This money should have gone to public schools, and instead now it's literally sitting in bank accounts to be used in ways that were never intended for public funds. And I think about this and I was like, man, you know, who would be an awesome person to ask this question? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, new report out of Arizona, school voucher recipients accumulating $360 million in unspent funds. Nance, I was wondering if you had a chance, you know, we've talked about vouchers, but this realization that in Arizona, it sounds to me like parents are literally taking their voucher money and just hoarding it.
Well, it's possible that they can. The reason being, in Arizona, there's a state law against funding directly to religious schools. So the way they're getting around that is giving $7,000 per child annually to parents, calling it a empowerment scholarship account. Okay, and then parents get that amount of money, and they can spend it. And for tutors or for homeschooling or for private schools or for religious schools, because the Supreme Court slowly but significantly in 2020 has been allowing public tax dollars for public education to go to not only private schools, but religious schools.
I look at this one, you know, I think about this, and Johnny, we talked a little bit about this last week when we interviewed Josh Cowan from Michigan State, you know, with his book, The Privateers. The money, though, here, that there's $360 million truly just sitting in unspent funds. So this is money that was allocated to the choice or the voucher program that isn't being used, and thinking about that and saying, you know what, whether... And I think all three of us would say we don't support vouchers, but I'm really positive I didn't support this as creating a funding system for a bunch of other people to save money to send up for private schools.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You know, Tim, the thing is, you could invent, people are inventive, especially when they need money. And they're... could be a multitude of ways that parents figure out. Some of the things I've read, money's been spent for this designated money's been spent on a lot of things other than education. Mm. But people are going to figure out how to get the best benefits for their lives from this allocation. But we do, I think we should talk also. I mean, I don't want to blame them. I think they have their own, you know, their own purposes. But I think we have to look at the deeper issue of what are vouchers and why, and should we support them? And they've been, you know, one goal of the privatization movement from the time it began, you know, 25 years ago. But it's escalated incredibly in the last few years. I'm sure you guys know that, and largely because of the Supreme Court cases that now allow public money to go into religious schools, but this is a really, really serious thing. I'd like to talk about, like, what does it mean to take public tax dollars and give it to private schools or religious schools in a country that has rested for hundreds of years on a principle of the right of equal education for every child in the country? And what does it mean for that?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Nancy, right? So, you know, what does it mean? What's happening here when that money goes, you know, to private schools or private religious schools?
Time a child in Arizona or anywhere. Now there are 29 states plus DC that have some what they call universal school choice, which is essentially a voucher plan or a voucher plan. But every time a child elects that and receives that $7,000, that comes directly out of the budget for public schools. So something we have to really face as a society really is, what does this movement towards vouchers that is definitely gaining strength mean for quality, equal opportunity for a public education for every child? Because in private schools and in religious schools, there are not the same kinds of anti-discrimination standards or protections for diversity or kids of difference. Schools can do what they want, basically. There's no regulation. So what does it mean for democracy that this is happening?
I think about that, the democracy, and you kind of put on this too, Nancy. Okay, so here, specifically in this case, $360 million in unspent funds. You know, we've had Beth Lewis, the founder of SOS Arizona, on the show many times, and she's been really pointing out that, you know, the reality is that though the public schools in Arizona have been underfunded and defunded for years, and now to say that there is $360 million of public monies that are now being set up and held in, I guess, private individual families, that this is another way to truly defund public schools.
Well, many people understood, I think, in the beginning of the ed reform movement, when teachers were getting bashed, public education was getting criticized, unions were being criticized, and that was a corollary, a handholder to the voucher movement, because vouchers, it was a way, discouraging people from quality public education was part of a plan to move towards encouraging them to choose private schools and voucher plans. So this is part of a bigger picture for privatizing public education, and a very different goal, which is, you know, to really eliminate this thing Horace Mann envisioned of the great equalizer. We haven't achieved it. That is absolutely true. There's so many flaws with our public education system, but it doesn't mean we abandon it. I mean, this does mean we weaken public education. The more voucher schools are funded, the weaker public education is. And the other goal, I think, for many of the parents who are in the direction of private and religious schools is not wanting what they call liberal ideology penetrating schools. They can ban books, they can teach creationism, they can do whatever they want, because there isn't a bigger picture force that is. I don't like standards in education, but I do like the fact that there's a certain, you know, there are some guidelines about what we teach young people.
Well, there's that, we said, standards maybe is the wrong word, because I know where we would be coming from in like the standards movement. But yeah. but there are expectations in the public schools of democracy, of inclusion, of diversity, of all of those things. And you're saying when you take a voucher from the public schools and then use it to privately educate your child, there you can send it to a school that, you know, and this is absolutely true, where they are hardcore teaching, and we heard this from Josh last week, creationism, dinosaurs, yeah, people together, you know, the young earth, 6,000 years. And you'd say, well, in a public school, though, you can't do that because that's ideology. That's not scientific consensus.
That's exactly right. And it seems to me that discussion needs to happen on a broader scale. And it's just so discouraging in the country right now. There are so many examples of sort of dark money influence, mm-hmm, in a lot of our systems that are going unnoticed by most citizens, really. And it's just worrisome because these things happen. You see now, it's the same with science of reading. A lot of these movements are happening all the way across the country in a majority of states. And yet I don't think most citizens understand the implications of these things, how they're influencing young people's education, their minds, their ability to be a participating citizen in democracy as they grow up. And they're getting shortchanged in terms of being able to think in a wider way, critically, about a really complex world we're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nancy, you know, Tim and I, we got the wonderful opportunity to have a great conversation last week with Josh Cowan, author of Privateers. And, you know, one of the things he was sharing with us is all this research that he was gathering from education researchers who were showing that, you know, that the voucher stuff hasn't helped education in any direction. It hasn't done necessarily what, you know, it was presented as doing. So by all logical measures of like reading the measurements of, you know, like what are the indicators? Is this a good plan? Is this a good way to, like you said, achieve equality or even increase achievement in academic ways? On all accounts, it's been a massive failure. And so I think you bring up a really important point is this is related to democracy. How do we make decisions that are in the best interest of the strength and sustainability of the kinds of communities we want to have, right? We want to have, you know, safe, welcoming places for whoever you are, right? So we're committed to diversity. We're committed to equity. And our schools ought to be one of those places where it's like a no-brainer. We invest in young people becoming strong contributors to our local economies, our democracy, all of those things. Well, vouchers in every measure have hurt that. So we're in this political moment where we really need to be able to commit to facts, to understand that, like you brought up science of reading, that's even kind of a marketing slogan that's misleading. It's not actually scientific research on reading. It's just called science of reading. And like vouchers aren't researched as helping schools or helping raise, you know, the education levels of our communities or strengthening our local economies. In fact, they've been researched in ways that show us they've hurt all of those things. So by all logical standards, we should be moving away from this, but it's become sort of a clarion call for a particular movement, right, of right-wing radicals to really continue to privatize, right, and in a way subsidize a private education industry.
Yeah, there isn't, you're right, I agree with 100% with everything you're saying. There isn't any evidence that that voucher schools or private schools or charter schools are improving the quality of education at all. There's inconsistent scores, but there's nothing stable showing that there's improvements from those. And anyway, like I said, these things got pushed, charters and vouchers, originally with a message that it would be improved quality education for kids to make those choices. But that was all built on tearing down public education and teachers to make people think that it was all crap. And it wasn't from the beginning. But at the same time, the threat to democracy is very real for us to think about. Because when I think about quality education from the time kids go into it, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they are experiencing being a member of a community where there is shared decision-making with consideration for how decisions are affecting every single person in that community. And they're hearing stories, they're reading books about differences, and they're talking about, even if there aren't differences in the class, they're learning about differences and respecting them. these kinds of standards that we do have in public education are essential for a surviving and healthy democracy. You could have a school where kids are put in timeout or locked in a room or worse, and they could be getting funding from the state of Arizona or any other states.
I was thinking about this, though, too, as you point this out. One of the best ways that we get movement on this is, we say this all the time in Busted Pencils, my neighbor, who really does value their local public schools, but then hears about vouchers, hears about choice. I was wondering, you know, I'm thinking my neighbor's out here on the sidewalk. I say, hey, neighbor, come over here. I got Nancy Carlson Page. Ask her your question about vouchers and why vouchers are bad for public schools. I was wondering, Nancy, if you could just tell my neighbor why vouchers are bad for public schools and our community.
Well, neighbor, you've been sold a story, to use Emily Hanford's title, because it's not a true story. You're being told that making a choice to go to one of these other schools is going to improve your child's education. It's just not true. You can't guarantee it, and there are many, many aspects of public education that guarantee all kinds of equality and quality education and respect for differences and learning about being a participant in a democratic community. These things are guaranteed in our public schools, and they're not necessarily guaranteed in any school that isn't public.
Yeah, and I'd add to, if your public school, if your listener, you're out there and your public school isn't doing those things, because we've said it here, not every school is functioning with perfection, right? We're all working and striving towards these goals. But if your public school isn't doing those things, then the effort is that they ought to be. And let's get all hands on deck and voices behind supporting that. Like, those schools have an obligation and ought to be funded towards providing a safe, equitable, quality education for all the students in our community. And where they're not able to do that, we got to work together to get there.
Well, that is so important. And part of what you're saying, Johnny, is that parents, this is our goal, is that parents are really connected to their schools and their school communities, and that they assert what their needs are and their desires for the community through a healthy democratic process with the school. But that is not guaranteed either when you have a private or a religious school. It's this kind of dialogue that's community-based and includes parents and kids and teachers is something also that happens in public education.
Nancy, this is awesome. This is a great conversation. Certainly helps with that. Hey, if you've been sold the story, here are some things to consider rethinking the danger of that story. Nancy, thank you so much. Before we cut out with you, though, last time we had you on, we were talking about, you know, what time it might be in the turn for the Democratic election. We've got a huge election coming up. How are you feeling regarding the energy and the excitement, or not? Where are you kind of at with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Well, I'm completely behind Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I'm scared. I don't like reading those polls. I try not to read them, and I have to keep telling myself they're wrong most of the time, because things are just so tight. It makes me feel nervous about a possible Trump win. I mean, I can't even imagine living in that country. But I think what they're saying and is absolutely fantastic. I think Tim Walz was the smartest choice she ever could have made. He's just every man. And I can't think of anything to criticize that guy. You know, he was a solid pro-student and pro-differences person way before it got popular. You know, he stood behind a young gay student way before anybody was talking about gender differences and sexual orientation differences. He's a person of integrity. He's wonderful. And she's been wonderful. You know, I want to see differences in foreign policy. I'll be honest. I think we need to be stronger and more determined and stop funding wars around the world. But I think anybody who gets into national office in this country is really trapped by a whole lot of history and funding influence. So it makes it difficult to to take care of some of these international issues, although I think we need to. But Kamala's policies, they're a breath of fresh air after what we've been through.
Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, the time goes so quick. Thank you so much for busting pencils with us.
I love talking to you guys. It's great.
And you know what? If you have a question for Matt Damon's mom, 608-557-8577, drop that in our mailbag. And the next time we have Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on, we'll read your question and we'll hear what Nancy, what of our listeners have to ask you a question. What a great opportunity.
I'd love it. Bring it on. Thanks.
Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Johnny, I love talking to Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Her wisdom always comes through so profoundly. I love the way she talked to my neighbor.
Well, absolutely. You know, especially it's a topic we talk about all the time here on Busted Pencils, and it's on almost, you know, all the political banters going around the country in every state. You know, vouchers, not vouchers. What's the problem with them? And that was a really just down to earth, hammer it home, keep it simple, you know, explanation of a not so complicated thing. Vouchers, they're not helping public schools. In fact, they're really destructive to democracy. So that clear. Hey, if you've got a question or there's something you want to add, give us a call at 608-557-8577. Leave us a message or ask a question. Man, Tim, so much great stuff, right? Last week on Classes in Session, great conversation with the author of Privateers, Josh Cowan, who is talking about, you know, the evidence, the research about how this voucher thing is such a bad, bad call and bad move if your goal is to have strong education system. And hey, here at Busted Pencils, that's our goal. Educated educators talking education to strengthen public education, because public education is the bedrock of democracy. Watch for 3 drops a week, folks, wherever you get your podcasts, you know, download, listen. And we love being with you. Thanks for busting pencils with us.